Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. For the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays over there, so you can look for a brand new one popping up over there tomorrow sometime. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Oh, Dan the Man with three.
Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up there. You know, just one of those, one of those things that happens from time to time. So, but all right, Dan. You know, I gotta start out with this one because you know it's going to be a, well, I'm sure it probably already is a gigantic uproar on Sunday. The San Francisco 49ers cut Reuben Foster. After he was arrested for domestic violence on Saturday night, or domestic abuse, I don't remember what they had mentioned he had did, and I can actually phrase this by saying this time, because it's his second one in, I don't even know if it's over his career or how long it's been, but it's the second time he's been arrested for this. So they cut him loose. Now, today, the Washington Redskins claimed him. So, Dan, as you can expect, this is a gigantic uproar because the Redskins claimed him. You know, I'm to the point where I don't even know how to address this anymore, so I'm going to let you have a shot at it. I guess the thing I keep hearing is, you know, talent kind of overrules everything. Is that how you see this here? A talented guy, so he's going to continue to get chances?
Pretty much. I mean, maybe a change of scenery will help out.
Yeah, you know, and again, like I said, I don't remember what he was, you know, it was domestic abuse, and I don't remember what the actual actions were or anything like that. I don't know if he hit a woman or, you know, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or his wife or whatever the situation is there, but, you know, again, my big thing with this is, can we at least wait to see what actually happened, you know, before we kind of condemn this guy? But, you know, as we know with athletes today, you're pretty much automatically guilty, and then we worry about apologizing to you if something comes out to prove you didn't do it, right?
Yeah, well, I don't even think an apology comes with that if it turns out to be false.
Yeah, so yeah, that's just kind of where we are with that, and I think I'm, you know, like everybody else, I'm kind of sick of these stories, and I, you know, these guys were a little smarter, I guess would be a way to look at it, but when are they going to learn, Dan?
I think they'll learn when the automatic punishment of the year, you're done for the year.
Is that what it's going to take? It's going to take a big time stiff penalty like that.
Yeah, and second offense, two seasons. No pay.
Yep, I can. Yeah.
Or the minimum. I don't
know. Once that paycheck goes away, right, it's a little different story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and you know, the Redskins put out the prototypical, you know, we fully understand the severity of the recent allegations, you know, deal that you get every time one of these guys gets another job or gets another opportunity. I'm looking to see here if they had a description of what he was actually accused of doing here. It said, yeah, here you go. It said Foster slapped her phone out of her hand, pushed her in the chest area, and slapped her with an open hand on the left side of her face. And in the report, it does said she had a 1-inch scratch on her left collarbone. So, and apparently this is a girl he'd been on and off with for about 3 years.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way around that one.
Well, you know, and his first charge was actually dropped. It's the same girl. Her name, I'm guessing this is Alisa Ennis. She actually recanted on her first allegations against him. So, you know, he wasn't charged for that. He did get 2 years because he was actually in possession of a rifle at the time, and he wasn't allowed to have any type of firearm. So he was given 2 years probation, but not for the domestic violence charge, which was actually dropped, which oddly, Dan, I have not heard anybody mention while they've been talking about this charge. So again, is that kind of the truth getting in the way of a better story?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, not that it makes the first issue right at all either, but, you know, you do got to kind of tell the whole tale here that, you know, while it did allegedly, well, I guess technically it didn't allegedly happen if she recanted, right? Because she's saying it didn't happen. So, but yeah, you know, I like your idea, Dan. I think that's what they should change it to. You know, when you know, if you get hit with the first one, and I think you got to wait till they're found guilty, though, don't you? And then the minute they're found guilty, they're immediately suspended for one full year.
Yeah, I think you're right in that. Where if they're found guilty in the court of law, minimum 1 year. But if it's, you know, I think their policy is put in place, so maybe they should up it to 6 games. Where the minute you're, you know, it's hard because sometimes these guys are accused. It's not always true.
Yeah, you know, and that's the, you know, the tough part, you know. I mean, you know, while sadly this does actually happen way too much, you know, there are times where, you know, it's a case of, you know, someone wanting to get somebody else in trouble. And, you know, this is a way to do it. You know, I think, isn't that what kind of ended up happening with that entire Derrick Rose situation? Didn't, you know, like, I know they really tried to make him out as the bad guy in that, but in reality, didn't he end up not having much to do with it? So, yeah, you know, just, you know, you got to make sure you've, you know, again, got to do your due diligence and make sure you got everything correct. And, boy, you know, again, I'm not even, you know, I'm not even sure if this is something that the NFL needs to be investigating. Maybe they need you know, are they going to have to set up like a special bureau of the NFL, literally like, you know, NFL CSI?
I think so. You know, almost with real credentials.
Yeah, you know, oddly, while we're along these wonderful lines, you know, you and I mentioned it a little bit yesterday, and I caught it today. They actually released that Jameis Winston had came to an agreement with the Uber driver. You know, I know you and I brought it up just in kind of in passing yesterday. But yeah, apparently that case had been settled. And he came to some kind of agreement with that driver. So he,
you know, that's all in his past now. So I guess we wait for the next Jameis Winston issue in his life.
Well, you've got to wonder what the next one will be.
Yeah, well, you know that. You got to wonder how much longer they put up with him before you just kind of put up the lifetime ban. You know, I mean, no matter how talented you are, you know, it's got to be, you know, there's got to be a limit to it. So. You know, it did say she was asking for in excess of $75,000 in damages in the nature of emotional distress and future therapy expenses. Dan, I'm going to bet that entire settlement that there was no therapy involved. I don't know about emotional distress because it's to me, so I wouldn't know about that. But I'm kind of under the impression that there was definitely no therapy.
Oh, no, I'm sure there was, recommended by her really good lawyer.
Yes, if you have a really good lawyer, then, you know, you would be okay. But, yeah, it says the process will be completed. The settlement will be official in about 10 days. But I don't know if they're going to release the details. Probably not. You generally don't know what, in a case like this, what somebody's been awarded. But... you know, in the case of Jameis Winston, it's, you know, all done and all said and done, and he can move on with, you know, being a potential bust, I guess, as an NFL quarterback, because he definitely had his issues. So, you know, now, you know, Dan, I do wonder, you know, with a guy like Winston, who's been a star since probably before high school, Do you think maybe some of this comes from they've just been getting away with stuff for so long that they almost feel untouchable?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's the problem when you start, you know, scouting these kids in seventh grade, you know, and then doing everything you can to move them along. Because you know damn well that even though they don't have agents, they have guys looking out for them, trying to find the right words.
Well, you know, in cases it's an uncle or a brother or, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Maybe not somebody who's a consultant for an agency.
Right. So, yeah, you know, I could just be somebody working, you know, under the table for that agency.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they definitely have some kind of representation going on that, you know, I'm sure we don't know about. But yeah, it's just kind of so weird that, you know, we grab these kids at, you know, 12, 13 years old, and we lay all this much on them, and then, you know, the minute they start to run into trouble or something, they turn their backs on them, like, oh no, we didn't do this or we didn't do that, when in general they're the majority of the cause of it. So I don't know, but I like your suspension idea. You should propose that to Roger Goodell. Can you email the league or something with that?
Yeah, I'll have to look that up.
You know. So, but yeah, there's got to be something to kind of start dissuading these guys and all this. I get tired of reading about it, but not only am I tired of reading about it, I'm tired of talking about it. So let's get on to some more interesting stuff. Little disappointed today, Dan, and I know he's not a big, gigantic name or anything, but I was a little disappointed to see that Jesse Chavez is going back to the Rangers on a 2-year deal. You know, I really thought as well as he pitched for the Cubs, and for a while there, him and Pedro Strop were the only two guys in the bullpen who could get anybody out. I really thought they would bring him back. I mean, he ended up in 32 games for the Cubs. He went 2-1 with a 1.15 ERA, and actually ended up picking up 4 saves. You know, he's getting $8 million total, so basically $4 million a year. Sounds like a contract the Cubs could handle. What do you think? You know, what do you think the decision was to kind of maybe not offer, or maybe just let him go back to Texas? You know, what's your opinion here?
Well, I think part of it is that they're hoping Brandon Morrow turns out to be the guy, but it makes you wonder if Chavez even wants to stay here.
Yeah, I guess that is always a possibility. I was thinking, do you think maybe it's possible the Cubs didn't want to go 2 years and maybe they were only willing to go 1 in an option, or maybe just 1 for a, you know, because, I mean, let's think that he is a journeyman, you know, 35. He's bounced around quite a bit. Maybe they didn't want to commit to that second year, because remember they did that with Brian Dunsing. He'll be back this year, and he was terrible last year, you know, after kind of popping up and having a great year for them 2 years ago. So you think maybe that kind of scared him off a little?
I think so. I mean, you know, if you're Chavez, you obviously want the second year included. And, you know, they're under the philosophy that, you know, relief pitching is always out there, which it kind of is.
So, yeah, you know, and then I did see we had a bunch of, you know, obviously you wouldn't call them big name guys, but we had a couple signings that, you know, names of guys that, you know, baseball fans like you and I know. You know, like I saw that Lonnie Chisenhall is moving on from Cleveland. Not a big surprise, because, you know, they wanted to kind of pare down some salary, even though Chisenhall wasn't making a mint. You know, he's going to Pittsburgh on a 1-year deal. So, you know, we'll see how, you know, he's had a couple injury-plagued seasons. But he's, you know, he was a solid player for Cleveland. And, you know, he'll add, you know, another lefty bat there. You know, he's a career 268 hitter, and, you know, he can play all the corner positions, first, third, left, right. So it kind of fits into what the Pirates do, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good landing spot for him.
You know, and I guess especially now it looks like they're probably not going to be able to get Josh Harrison back, because he's going to be really popular on the free agent market, according to reports, and probably out of their price tag. So they're going to need a little more versatility, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I guess when we can get back to it, we can talk about second baseman. Or is he a first baseman?
Who?
Harrison.
Harrison, he's a little bit of everything. He's played second, short, third, left, center, and right. I think he's played everything but first and catcher.
Oh, because I wanted to go back to yesterday and your talk about Cano going to Boston. You know, would Harrison or Cano be a guy?
Yeah. So, well, you know, there is some more Cano news if you want to kind of roll right into that. It's reported that the Mariners have actually had talks with, surprisingly, both New York teams. Apparently they approached both the Yankees and the Mets. Now, you know, you and I were talking yesterday. I don't really see either as a landing spot unless they're going to move him to first base full time, right? Because he's not taking Gleyber Torres' spot, even though he may be a better overall hitter right now. You're not taking Torres out of that lineup for a 36-year-old guy. And, you know, the Mets have Jeff McNeil, who kind of popped up, for, you know, out from under the radar, did pretty well. You know, there wasn't a lot of noise about him, but I guess both teams have openings at first base. Do you think that's a possibility?
I feel like the bigger possibility would be with the Mets. But then again, the Yankees have the option for, you know, the DH. But I think be a better landing spot for the Mets.
Yeah, you know, because I know, you know, the Mets have had Dominic Smith on the radar for a couple years, and I'm starting to wonder if maybe they think he's a bust, or, you know, they're worried about him being a bust because they haven't really given him the opportunity to play. You know, there's been some chances, and I get that he's really young. I think he's only 20, maybe 23. I'm gonna have to look that one up to make sure. But just still really young. Yeah, he'll be 24 in June. So, you know, I guess the problem is if they bring him in though, and he's gonna play first base. Doesn't that push Smith's timeline back of being able to play even farther?
Yeah, but maybe he could be movable. But then again, with the Mets looking – well, it's hard because they're looking to move their pitching, but they still have a good lineup. I mean, it's hard to say what the hell that team is going to do. And that's why you start to get confused, you know. Are they sellers? Are they buyers? Are they trying to compete? Are they, you know, trying to unload guys? So that's where I get a little confused.
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of fit in with a whole bunch of Met fans on what they're actually doing. And looking at his fielding, he did make 10 starts in left field last year for the Mets. So he has played a little outfield. You know, the problem is the Mets have probably the most overcrowded outfield in baseball. Once your guy, especially if your guy comes back healthy, you know, if Cespedes comes back healthy, that just adds, you know, one more guy to the mix. So I don't know unless they're planning on moving some other guys. I know the winter meetings, I think, start December 9th. So maybe we'll get a little more clarity once things kind of start, you know, bouncing around and shaking out. But I want to see what the Mets depth chart looks like, what they have here. Yeah, they do have Smith listed right now as the projected starter at first. You know, and then the outfield, of course, is Conforto in left, Nemo in center, and Jay Bruce in right. You know, they'll get Wilmer Flores back as a fourth outfielder, Juan Lagares back as a fourth outfielder. You know, he had that goofy foot or toe or some kind of injury that ended up costing him just about the entire season. But I don't know, Dan, does it make sense to bring in a guy like Cano and then turn around and trade a Syndergaard like they've been talking about?
Yeah. Why not? They haven't got the money to spend.
So, I guess.
5 more years.
Yeah, you know, that's the, you know, and of course, that's the thing with Cano. I mean, you get Cano, you know, unless you can figure out a way to, he's there.
Yeah, but, you know, that's why, you know, we brought up the Red Sox yesterday. And actually, I'm on the page right now. Filling in our information, and Dustin Pedroia's 8-year, $110 million contract is winding down through 2021, and this season he's going to pay $15 million, next year's $13 and $12 million. You know, you've got to wonder considerably, that's not horrible money. How old is he again? He's 34. I'm not sure if he starts the season at 34 or 35. But, you know, is there someone willing to take on his contract? You know, it seemed like the Rays. You know, and I'm not saying the Rays in general, but just the team in that situation. You know, quite possibly even, you know, I have no clue. But, you know, with that kind of money, they're not killing, making a, you know, you're not spending a whole lot.
You know, interestingly here, looking, like I pulled up the Yankees depth chart just through rosterresource.com. I didn't go, you know, real hard to look for it. And right now they actually project Torres to take over at shortstop while Didi is out, which they have penciled in Tyler Wade at second and Luke Voit at first base. So maybe Cano ends up being an overall better fit here?
I think so, because I'm not sure I'd really want to keep Luke Voit there, would you?
No, well, you know, and I know he did really well there, and, you know, that kind of, endeared him to fans. I mean, you know, it's so much here on this depth chart that they actually have Greg Bird starting in the minors. And I'm not sure that that's really how it's going to go. I mean, I understand that the Yankees are disappointed in him. But, yeah, you know, Voit was only with the Yankees for 39 games. Now, he did hit .333 with 14 bombs. So you can understand why everybody was excited about him. But, you know, he's never played full-time. You know, actually, he's never played more than, 62 games in his two-year career. And he's 27, so he lingered around the minors with the Cardinals for a long time. And, I mean, I don't know. Do you think he just kind of magically found it? Or
oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot he was in the Cardinal system. I think he magically found it, but I also think maybe, you know, I'd say it was one of those flukes.
You know, cause, you know, and that's always, you know, I mean, a lot of times guys will get a bump from changing leagues. You know, and you just got to kind of wonder if maybe that was just what this was for him. And, you know, once they kind of get a book on him, and to be fair, he's a solid hitter. I mean, and you know, when 2017, the 62 games with Cardinals, he did hit .246. So, you know, just kind of right there. I think that's more the hitter he is. I don't really think he's a .233 hitter.
Wouldn't you rather go with a proven commodity?
Yeah, well, you would think, I mean, there or, you know, even at second, you know, Tyler Wade has always been more of a, say, utility type of guy more than an everyday player. You know, he's another guy. I mean, I don't believe he's played very, very many games. Let me see if I can grab him real quick here. He's only 24, so he's younger. He appeared in just 36 games for the Yankees last year, but he hit just .167. So, you know, I mean, I know eventually you got to figure out what these guys can do and, you know, that kind of stuff. But you would got to think, you know, especially if they're chasing the Red Sox, they'd be a little more comfortable with Cano at the everyday second baseman until Didi's back, and then maybe bump, you know, they could bump him, over to first once Didi's back and healthy.
I mean, it's possible, but, you know, if you make that move and you're going Labor at short, do you think it's time to move Didi?
Well, I think he's got to prove he's healthy first before you could move him, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and to be fair, you know, Didi has played second. You know, while he was in the Diamondbacks organization, he played from second base. So, you know, he could always go back there.
Yeah, but if Gleyber's the future, and, you know, the name of the game today is continue to stockpile your farm system, I think you get more for Gleyber than you would Gleyber. for a team that's looking to contend, so to speak. Especially a team
that may not give Manny. Yeah, you know, it definitely could, you know, it's an interesting situation, you know, kind of seeing how things work out for them. You know, you do wonder just a little on how Gleybar will do defensively at shortstop. So, you know, that may be something they'll have to, look at. Because I believe, if I remember correctly, he did make quite a few errors while he was coming through the Cubs organization at short. You know, and even last year, thinking, you know, second base full time, it looks like he made 17 errors, which I think is a pretty big number for a second baseman. Yeah, you know, I guess just one of the, you know, like I said, one of the other things I heard them was, you know, that was the, you know, where they addressed it was, you know, Cano, they had spoken to the two New York teams.
Well, isn't that where you go first?
Yeah. Well, you know, I would think you would go where the, you know, where the money is, right? I mean, you go to, you know, you go to New York, you go to L.A., you go to Boston. You know, and I guess, you know, even Chicago, you know, when you've got a contract that size, you know, it's going to have to go to a team that can take it. You know, I mean, obviously you're not calling Miami going, hey, you want this contract? You know, you want this guy? You know, because they're obviously not going to be able to take the contract. So, you know, it makes kind of common sense there.
Yeah, but why would the Cubs take it on? They have spent over.
No, I just meant, you know, with the money. You know, when you look for stuff like that, you know, you look for places that are going to be able to, you know, take the money.
Yeah, no, I was just being sarcastic.
So, and you know, hey, Ben is in the last year of his deal, so they're going to need somebody to replace him. You know, he's not going to play forever.
Yeah, as long as 4-year contract.
You know, unless they bring him back, maybe they'll re-sign him.
That means that they have to re-sign Joe Madden.
Yes, if Madden decides to stay. So, you know. We'll have to see. Oh, I'm throwing stuff all over the floor. Just one of those things. So, all right, now I don't know if you had a chance to look into this. You're the guy who, you know, probably has to explain this to me. You know, this actually happened kind of early, so I was hoping you came across it. Major League Baseball announced a gaming partnership with MGM Resorts International. So they can use the tagline that they are the official gaming partner of MLB. What the hell does a gaming partner do, Dan? Is it betting or is it something else?
No, it's betting. I guess all the leagues are starting to do this. You know, it's either them or a FanDuel or Facebook. The other one, you know.
DraftKings?
DraftKings, there you go. I wasn't even close.
So, yeah, I don't know. You bet on, well, I guess you can bet on just about everything, right? I mean, you can literally almost bet pitch to pitch if you're, you know, if you're in the right place, can't you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know the details of it, but, you know, I don't really know how it's going to work, but I guess, like you said, they're the first gambling partner, and it's a multi-year marketing agreement, you know, just like some other company has one with, you know, the NBA, one with the NHL.
Yeah, like here, even the I found an article here on MLB Trade Rumors, and it mentions that MGM has what they call non-exclusive access to its statistics feed, as well as exclusive rights to plug into enhanced stats. They say that they're not quite sure what this means is anybody's guess, but it probably oughtn't is actually the usual word oughtn't. Be surprised to see prop bets on StatCast feed. So, yeah, I think that's where we're talking pitch-to-pitch kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, apparently, you know, they're going to be giving access to all statistical data. And the nice thing for Major League Baseball and the team is it's not an exclusive deal.
Huh.
But, you know, the other part of it is wherever advertisements for gambling is going to be, with MGM, they'll be able to attach the Major League Baseball logo to their stuff as well as the NBA. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess, you know, after the Supreme Court ruling, right, this was kind of inevitable, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't, you know, for me, it's not going to change anything. For you, it's not going to change anything. So, you know, I hope it works for everybody.
I don't know, but, you know, maybe we'll make a move to Vegas. I don't know in baseball.
You know, we could take up a career in gambling. You don't think that would be a good idea?
No, I'm not that good at it.
No. Well, I was just hope. You know, I was hoping. You know, there would be something there to, you know, get out of the snow. But I guess not. I guess we're stuck here a little bit longer.
Yeah, unless you know how to hedge the fence.
I'm clueless there. I can't help you. So.
No, and then, you know, it leads to mess news because you'll be wanting to never go to sleep so you can stay up and you know, track stats all day long to get the right bet.
Yeah.
Four monsters.
That would be fun. Yeah, you'd have to track trends and yeah. Could you imagine betting pitch to pitch? Or even if back to it bad.
It opens up a whole new world.
So, how long do they, you know, start making it interactive and you can just bet right from your, you know, your computer? You know, is that how it's going to be?
I think inevitably that's how it's going to be.
Oh, I missed you there. You faded out a little bit. I didn't hear you respond.
Broken, you'll just be taken out of your credit card directly or your bank account.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. So, but yeah, you know, I kind of sidestepped it because I forgot to, or because I wanted to make sure I brought that up, but. The other thing that I heard today, and I, you know, this is something, you know, I think you and I have actually talked about this a few times. You know, the next apparent top name pitcher who is on the market now is our guy Madison Bumgarner. Apparently, the Giants are going to listen to offers, so to speak. You know, Dan, this is just kind of confusing for me because here's a team that, well, you know, we're in on Harper, we're pulling Harper in, you know, we're going to do what we can to, you know, get him into the fold, and then we're going to turn around and trade our best pitcher. How does any of this make sense?
Well, because then you can just, with Scott Boras, help get the entire Nationals roster to come on over. Maybe a big reunion for him. No, I don't know. I mean, with the winter meetings coming up, I think this is just stuff that they have to do. You know, he's one of the, on their team, he's, in essence, the most tradable guy. So you got to kind of, I guess, just go out there and listen. You know, the funniest thing for me, though, is, you know, I'm just going to have to stop following NBC Sports Chicago because their articles are just, you know, I get it, it's speculation, but, you know, it would make no sense to trade for him now. Well, no, it wouldn't, because I don't, you know, you're not going to want to, what the White Sox are doing, you're not going to want to give up the farm that you built, worked so hard to build, for a guy who's going to come off a free agency. But can Bumgarner be the White Sox John Lester? I don't see that happening either.
I guess he could, as long as you could get him to stay.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the thing. You know, with him going into offseason after next season, or this season, right? He's going into free agency, supposedly. You know, they're like, can he be the White Sox John Lester? You know, the big signing, 5 years, you know, at what, $20-plus million a year? You know, essentially the White Sox have the funds, you know, as far as cap room goes, to sign Baumgartner, to sign Bryce, and possibly Machado, which, I mean, let's be honest, I think if they were going to go after anybody, I think Machado would be the better signing. And then you get rid of Rinky Renteria and hire a Joe Madden type guy, and you move forward from there. But, I mean, I don't think they've really proven it yet. You know, I really thought that shortstop, I can't even think of his name, Jose or something, was supposed to be their guy that, you know, when he was drafted, Bruce Levine projected him to be leading off for the White Sox next season. And you threw out his numbers, and it was like a slap in the face. It was Jose Rondon or Rodon or something.
Yeah.
You know, and I was kind of buying it, listening to Bruce Levine. And really, not buying the whole, he would be leading off and starting for the White Sox, you know, 2019. I was thinking maybe 2020, 2021. You know, could he be essentially a Javi Baez type guy? But, you know, who knows? It's hard to say. But I just feel like the White Sox haven't really proven anything to really warrant big free agent signings to the South Side. Especially a team that doesn't really draw, you know, nothing more exciting than paying a guy $30 million a year to have, you know, 1,000 people through the month of April each night. So that's, you know, a whole other topic. But, you know, I think it's just smart business for the Giants to listen to offers. But, you know, if he's going up for free agency, are you really trying to make that move unless you're the Yankees? You know, and then if you're the Yankees, who do you give up? You know, and then do you bring back, like you said, if you give up the guys like Didi, which, you know, the Giants already have the shortstop, you know, where does it really fit? You know, what are the Giants really looking for? Are you looking for another catcher and moving Buster over to first? Then you have Crawford. So I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes in, too, because the Giants aren't really a quote-unquote rebuild team. You know, they're kind of up in the upper echelon like the Yankees were, where the Yankees are kind of rebuilt, but they never really had to do a Cubs tank to rebuild, which, okay, it worked. The Cubs did win a World Series. So did the Astros. But I don't believe that the whole tanking thing is really the way to go. You know, the Giants didn't tank to get draft Buster Posey. You know, they may have not had decorative seasons. I don't believe it was in the Royals' plan to tank it out before they won the World Series in 2015, which they were working on that team from, what was it? They started with those guys in 2010. A lot of them, minus, you know, Jeff Francoeur. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, for it to make sense for the Giants, you know, who are you getting back? And if you, like you said, how are you going to sign Bryce Harper and then get rid of one of Major League Baseball's best pitchers, especially one that's going to combat one-on-one, so to speak, against Clayton Kershaw? You know, 18, well, I know they're not going to pitch against each other 18 times a season, but you get my point there. I got to take my break, so I wonder where you want to go with that. But, you know, I think it's smart business to go out there and listen. But like you said, why are you going to give up the best player, your best pitcher on your team? Especially when they haven't really filled in. They don't have a guy coming up number two that would take over Madison Bumgarner's role, you know, instantly as number one.
Yeah, all right. Well, Dan goes off on his little break. We can, you know, while he covered most of it, we can kind of, you know, carry on, I guess, so to speak. You know, obviously it makes sense to listen. You know, I mean, nothing's going to hurt if you're listening to an offer. So nothing bad there or anything to that effect. Just one of those, one of those things. But yeah, it just, you know, it's kind of baffling when it's like, oh yeah, okay, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna tell everybody we're in the market here, and you know, we're going after this guy, we're going after that guy, this is how it's gonna go, and then we're gonna turn around and dump our best pitcher. I don't really know how smart that is, you know, when it comes kind of right down to it, you know, because if you think about it, you know, say you're Bryce Harper, okay, you know, you know you're going to have the pick of the litter, you know, you can go wherever you want to go, and San Francisco is making the cut there. You decided, okay, I'm going to be a Giant. But now you start to hear these things and to wonder, oh, why in the hell would I go there? You know, they seem like a confusing organization now, right? You're not quite sure, you know, are they coming or going? Are they seriously trying to win? Or, you know, what's their motivation here? So you wonder what everybody kind of looks at here when you have these things. So yeah, it's an interesting scenario, because you know, you listen and you know, never know, you know, you never know, maybe a team is willing to give up, you know, some of their better prospects for you, and you go, oh, okay, wait a minute, maybe I need to, you know, maybe I need to look back at this one and just, you know, revisit and see what's going on, and you know, be like, oh, okay, I'll take this. But you know, again, in another scenario, I mean, you know, the Giants went the veteran route. You know, they've always, you know, they tried it. It didn't really work out. You know, now they're making changes. You know, they moved Bobby Evans along, and you know, they brought in, I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is they brought in, and I'm drawing a blank on it. They brought the guy in from the Dodgers, and they made him, what is it, Farhad Zaheen, right? I probably butchered his last name. But, you know, they brought him in as, what is he, president of baseball operations or something. So, you know, they're going that route. And like a lot of people are saying, he was brought in to be the bad guy and actually make this move. So, you know, we'll... you know, we'll have to see. I mean, they technically don't have a general manager right now. You know, they're still in the process of looking for a guy. But in reality, you know, this Farhad, I'm going to see if I can find the spelling of his name so I can get it right. But I haven't came across it yet. Yeah, Farhan, I'm going to go with. Yeah, and I think it's Zahid. He's president of baseball operations. So, you know, he's the guy there that sits on top. And they don't have, like I said, they don't have a general manager. They're still looking to name a general manager. But even so, you know, he's going to be the guy making all the decisions. You know, and you wonder how big of a possible effect they'll have, you know, with the way they handled the Dodgers. You know, obviously he was part of that unit that basically analytically told Dave Roberts how to run the team. Now we know that's not going to go over with Bruce Bochy. You know, that's definitely, as old school of a manager as he is, I would be shocked to see Bochy accept someone else giving him a lineup and then kind of telling him who's available or who's not available or how that kind of works. So we'll, you know, again, we'll see. Guys do different things when, you know, they want to be, you know, when they want to keep their job, you know, kind of how those things work. But I just don't, I don't really see Bochy falling into that as the, you know, as the guy who we're going to go, here's your lineup, here's who's available, this is what we want you to do. I just don't know if it works for Bruce Bochy. I'm going to say no. I might be going on a limb there, but I'm going to say no. So it's going to make for an interesting setup there. And again, Bochy is in the last year of his deal, and you got to wonder if maybe this is it. It's almost kind of like his farewell tour. You know, and then with Zahid in the front office, they go out and they go get the analytical guy that they're looking for. But yeah, it seems counterproductive to say, yeah, well, we're going to go get Madison Bumgarner, or we're going to go trade Madison Bumgarner, and then we're going to sign Bryce Harper. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, if they trade Bumgarner, do you think that kind of takes them out of the running?
It has to, doesn't it? I mean, well, you know, I guess the other way you look at it is if you're Bryce Harper, like I was talking while you were gone with all these rumors, do you just kind of scratch them off your list now because they seem a little lost?
I mean, I would, but you know, you don't know what these guys really want anymore. I would like to think that Bryce Harper is a baseball guy and wants to get that ring before, you know, within that next 10 years of a contract that he's allegedly going to get up to 13 possibly. So, but you know, does it become a matter of, does he just want the money? You know, at the end of the day, you know, you get to go home and, you know, when he's in his 50s, kicking his feet up, doing whatever he feels like doing, if he's not coaching, you know, is it all about the money that he put in the bank, or is it going to be a little bit to do with the rings too?
Well, you know, to kind of carry that on, though, then if you're him and you see this going on, is this the place you're going to get that ring at if that's what you want?
No. Well, I guess if you put it like that, if I'm he, no, I think hearing this and the Giants, I think it's time to maybe, like you said, cross them off your list.
Yeah.
I would like to know a little bit more about the logistics or the inner workings of, you know, the Red Sox. We both know Bill James was a consultant, not an actual employee of the team, made very clear, which I would disband his consulting because
yeah.
of his comments. But, you know, that's up to them. He's pretty much got the dream job for any guy who's never played the game. But same token, you know, my biggest wonderment is the front office, were they dictating the lineups or, you know, who was what and how they played? Because I still get the feeling that Joe Maddon at least did not, maybe was suggested, but was still given, you know, still had the weight or whatever you want to call it to put his own lineups together and call his own games. Where when it comes to like the Yankees and the Dodgers, we know the Dodgers, and I kind of felt like that was the situation with New York. Yeah, you went with the new coach, but Cashman made it pretty clear it was going to be his team. So how well does that really work when the front office is calling the shots, but those are the teams that aren't winning the World Series?
Yeah, you know, you do have to wonder, you know, how you handled this. I mean, if I'm managing the team and somebody says, here, this is what you're going to do, my question kind of becomes, why aren't you just managing the team then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why am I just your, you know, basically your puppet? So,
well, and,
you know,
take it back to the Philadelphia A's and, you know, put on the suit and put on the top
right.
hat like Connie Mack and go run the team.
You know.
Yes,
you know,
I know about
I can understand it a little more when you know you want to make sure that guy with the big contract is out there every day because you might need to trade him, you know, or you can go to your manager and say, hey, we're looking to steal this guy. Can you find an at bat for him or something so we can see if there's a taker? But I can't see handing a manager a lineup and then letting him know who's available because that he really can't manage the game.
No, and, you know, the whole talk is Joe Maddon going to be a lame duck, you know, and I guess he had some comments that he came out about it. We both know that's stupid, but to me that says that Joe Maddon still has some take on what the lineup's going to be, and, you know, he's not being completely inundated by the front office, because if he was, you know, how can he be a lame duck when you're just going out there and handing a lineup that was given to you? Well, you know, do you even show up for work early? You just show up when it's time
right.
to show up.
Yeah, that, you know, that, I mean, that's exactly what I would be, I mean, you know, what are you there to what, talk to the media?
Pretty much. You know, we both know he's pretty good at that. But, you know, a guy like Dave Roberts, like you said, is he there basically as a translator?
Yeah.
You know, and with his lineup being handed down, you know, how many times did we have Kiki start the game? We went over this, and he went 0 for like 10 or 11 starting. But the smartest guy in the room thought that he should be.
It was what was said they were supposed to do.
SportsTimeRadio.com.